It is time now for the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review with Dr. Lou Campominosi of the Common Sense Campaign and adjunct professor of political science at Spring Hill College. This program is paid for by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne and in Malbus with the state-of-the-art car wash, and by an anonymous donor. And good morning, Dr. Lou, via telephone today. Good morning. Let's see if we can hear you okay this morning, Dr. Lou.
It's just one of these days where it's time to, you know, make a decision about what my family and I are doing. And so I think I've mentioned that to everyone that we were moving to Louisiana. Well, we have actually moved to Louisiana. The movers are actually at our new home unloading all the furniture.
Wow.
So yesterday, Dee Cox, Judd Blakely, and Lori and I all got together, and we planned what we were going to do for the show in the future. And so the reality is that it's just a bit too much for me to continue doing it. So I asked Dee Cox to take over for me, and our sponsors are willing to do that, and they're all very happy with that. And so today will be the last time that I will be on the show. In fact, I'm only going to be on just for a few minutes. I'm going to turn it over to Deke. And all I can say to you all out there, you've had Deke on my show any number of times. You know who he is. You know how good he is at what he does with analyzing all of this. The former, you know, naval intelligence officer with 8 combat tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. He knows what he's saying. He's got the background, the understanding, and the intellectual capability to put it all together so that we who are listening get the picture. And I think I'm just fortunate to have met Deke a couple of years ago, and since that time he and I have been able to work together on a number of issues. And I'm just really happy that he's got the ability, the time, and can make the time to work on this show, because I think this show is an important aspect of what we need in terms of getting media information out to the public. And so, you know, I'm not going to say that we're in line with 106.5 or 1819 News or all like that, but I would argue that the quality of what you hear on the Conservative Watchdog News Review is as good as anything you're going to hear. And I think that was true with me, and I'm not going to, you know, applaud myself too much, but I do think it is absolutely the truth with Deke. You heard him last week when we were talking about the whole business with the attacks on Israel, the terrorist attacks. He gave a first-class analysis that you're not going to even hear on any of the other media outlets. So my point to all of you folks out there listening is that you are lucky to get a quality individual like Dee Cox to be able to, you know, take over this show. And so, you know, that's what I wanted to say this morning as far as passing the baton to Deke. Ted Blakely is going to be working with Deke, as will Kevin Briggs, who will come on. You know, I shamelessly brought Kevin on many times. But Kevin is one of those, you know, incredibly bright guys who came out of Auburn in an engineering program, has built a wonderful business for himself, and he understands how things work. And I think that Kevin's insight to a lot of these issues is an important adjunct to what we're doing. So I think I would urge you to keep Kevin, you know, coming to the show as much as possible, and, you know, work your magic so people understand what's going on. So, Deke, say a few words, and then let's talk about Biden and this whole business of what's happening with the Iranians, and then I will sign off and let you all take over.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Just want to say thank you very much for those kind and you know, generous words. You know, you've always been so gracious and such a gentleman, and we have a you know, tremendous, you know, big shoes to fill, and just a tremendous void, you know, with you, you know, moving on to this next phase of life for you and you know, Johnette, and just wish you the best there in New Orleans, and of course, you know, hope to, you know, be in contact with you regular, as we always have been, but, you know, just get you settled there and back with family, and you know, and just want to say thank you for the opportunity and for your time.
Dr. Lou, if I may interject, I want to speak on behalf of the entire Mobile and Baldwin County communities for the hard work and effort and watchdog approach you have taken to so many issues, from education to books in the library to so many other issues to bring to the forefront for conservatives in Mobile and Baldwin County. Without an activist like you, many of us wouldn't be aware of what's really going on around us, and we're going to, I think the community as a whole will miss you very, very much, and we certainly will personally.
Well, Lori, thank you for your kind words, and Deke, especially, you know, I'm just very glad that you and Lori are going to be able to work together. She's a great producer. She knows so much about the media there that she'll be very helpful to keeping the show running the way it's supposed to be run. And you've got Judd out there ready to throw his hard right-wing interpretations out there. So people are going to get a good view of what is taking place. And if I could, for just a minute, I want to just talk about this crisis that we're having. And I do think that the crisis is not about Ukraine. It's not about Israel. It is about a lack of understanding on the part of the Democratic leaders who have bought into a theory that came out of the Vietnam War, which basically said that the use of force in international politics has no real utility, okay? It doesn't work. Because in their view, Vietnam failed. And look, I can get into a whole Vietnam issue thing, but I don't want to do that. What I want to suggest to you, though, is that if you carefully look at what we tried to do in Vietnam, by 1972, the South Vietnamese Army was able to stand and fight against the North Vietnamese at the Easter Offensive, and had the Democrats, who hated Nixon, finally got to Nixon, got him out over Watergate. Well, it wasn't just getting rid of Nixon. They completely undermined what we had accomplished and what Judd Blakely had fought for in Vietnam. Because the South Vietnamese could have won and stood there as an independent country had we not abandoned them. And that abandonment, it's just like what you saw in Afghanistan 2 years ago, and guess what? Joe Biden and all those people, just like Joe Biden in 1974, cut off the support to the South Vietnamese Army because Vietnam was bad. Well, they did the same thing in Afghanistan. They have learned nothing, okay? And so my sense of this is that when you see the Biden approach that basically appeases the dictators of today, run the reel back to the end of World War II. What was the major lesson that came out of it? Appeasement begets more more aggression. I mean, wake up, people. There's nothing that has changed. Do you really think that Obama and Biden, and today Biden, Obama, whoever the hell is running the country, do you really think that the mullahs in Iran are going to be bought off with negotiations by giving them money, by, you know, doing whatever they have been doing with Obama and now Biden? It's not going to work, okay? It couldn't work with Hitler at Munich. He wanted more than just Czechoslovakia. And so after World War II, both parties, the intellectual conservatives, the intellectual, you know, Democrats, the foreign policy experts, all made the point aggression cannot be appeased. And so what happened? We all got together because the Stalinist communists were trying to do what? Take over the world. So you had the Cold War. The lesson being, we're not going to let Stalin get away with all this simply because he wants to control the world for communism. They understood what had happened just a few years before, and they weren't going to repeat the lesson of history that said appeasement begets aggression. Now, having just said that, what do you think Biden has been doing? I mean, think about it. If Iran, and yet my central point today is all about the Iranians. I mean, they're the head of the state. Everybody keeps saying head of the state. Well, if they are the head of the state, why in the world are we giving them billions of dollars like Obama did? Why are we doing the same thing with the lack of sanctions? Trump had the Iranians on their backs with sanctions, and he told them, if you do something to hurt Americans, you are going to pay the price. And he took out Soleimani, their mastermind strategist. So when Trump left office, think about this. Where were we in terms of an Iran that was just on its back, could pay its proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas? That was they couldn't do anything. And then the first thing that and we said this last week, the first thing that Biden does is he loosens sanctions so that the Iranians could now sell oil. So they were getting a couple of hundred million during the Trump period, and suddenly they're making $70 billion a year. Which does what? It funds the terror that they support. So tell me how all of this works in any fashion to help American interests along with the interests of our friends and allies in the Middle East. It just doesn't work. And so the reality at this point is you've got the Iranians basically ready to go to take advantage of the fact that this is their time. They've got Hamas, they've got Hezbollah, they've got their Quds in Syria, and so they're telling the world, essentially, hey, if the Israelis do anything Hezbollah, then this is it. And so put yourself in position. Of the Israelis, they have said never again. So what does that mean in terms of the Iranian threat? I mean, we could have a two-front war, a three-front war, and maybe they can deal. Let's hope they can. But guess what? Even if they can't deal with it, how much longer before they eliminate the Hezbollah threat, the Hamas threat, and perhaps the Quds force threat in Syria? They eliminate it. But we don't do anything. It's just going to repeat it. And so the question I would argue, or the question that I would ask, is if you're an Israeli, see this layout, why in the world would you hesitate to even think about 5-4? Just go to the head of the
Lou, thank you so much for those thoughts. Your phone is starting to break up a little bit. If you want to continue, try moving your location closer to outdoors.
I've said my piece, and I think that I've got to go anyway because I've got to help with all this stuff. But like I said, this is something that we think, is a a temporary problem we can walk through. It's not. Not as long as you have people who are running the country, who hate America, and are doing the wrong thing. So on that note, Deke, the best of luck to you, and Judge, and Laurie, thank you so much for all your help for the past couple of years. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Lou. We love you. We'll miss you.
Okay, dear. Y'all take care.
Okay.
Thanks, Lou.
Bye-bye. Wow. We are going to miss him, aren't we?
Absolutely. So picking up with Lou's comments, you know, we're going to review a little bit of the news headlines here over the last week. And, you know, Hamas-Israel war, currently we're at over 1,400 Israelis confirmed, massacred, and about 3,400 Gazans dead, most of them civilians. IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, now acknowledging up to 400 Israelis, dual citizens, and internationals are being held hostage in Gaza, including at least 30 children. 32 Americans now confirmed dead. 32 Americans. Did you know that, Lori?
Yes, I had heard.
Yep.
And some hostages.
That's right. And so, you know, that number likely to go up. Two U.S. Navy carrier strike groups and a Marine Expeditionary Unit now on station in the Eastern Med. In response to this, Vladimir Putin orders 24/7 Russian combat air patrols over the Black Sea. This was yesterday morning. And those fighters will be armed with hypersonic missiles, which are specifically designed to take out aircraft carriers and large combatants. And so, you know, the stakes just keep going up, up, up. And, you know, we're probably going to be seeing some things that we've never seen before, and maybe not in a good way.
Coming from you saying we're going to see things we've never seen before, as a retired naval intelligence officer, that's very concerning.
Mm-hmm.
I presume you will expound on that.
We will. And, you know, so, you know, also in the news, IDF ground offensive is expected to commence within 48 hours. And it's interesting because, you know, we're now, today's the 20th of October, we are nearly 2 weeks past Hamas's initial bloody incursion into southern Israel, and yet no ground offensive. And so it's very interesting, you know, again, looking back at you know, at Judd's experience in Vietnam and some of the nuttiness that we saw there with the Washington bureaucrats and the kleptocracy, you know, honcho in that effort, is that, you know, you must ask yourselves why. You know, so why has it been 2 weeks and we've not seen concerted action from the Israeli Defense Forces besides airstrikes in Gaza? And what's very interesting about this is that you know, the ongoing hostage rescue operations in Gaza, you can bet that this has been going on, not just by the IDF, but we also know that the German Special Operations Forces have been prepositioned to Cyprus, and U.S. and other Special Operations Forces are also in the area. And we know this because the White House posted signs, they doxed a couple of U.S. Special Forces groups yesterday by posting a picture of them. You know, not blurred, no redaction, just, you know, here are our guys, this is what they look like, and they are operating in country. So, yeah, thanks for that, Joe Biden. So, you know, that's the last thing in the world, folks, that we need if we're trying to go in and rescue Americans in some place as hotly contested as the Gaza Strip. You know, that's the kind of thing that, you know, whether, you know, reflecting on my experience with the SEALs or, you know, in Special Operations Command, it's the kind of thing that really makes the community's blood boil because, you know, we're at that point, you're compromised, you know, and so you could be walking into a trap, you know, or they could be laying an ambush for you that you never see coming. And so it's a big deal. And remember that all of these fine Americans have families, and many of them have children waiting for them back home. So, you know, we wish them Godspeed, and they're in our prayers. All right. The other thing that could be holding up the ground offensive is delayed munition shipments, you know, from the United States. Yes, the arsenal of democracy, you know, now after, you know, 18 months in Ukraine and just gifting the Ukrainians with, you know, billion-dollar deal after billion-dollar deal and just shipping out all of our reserves, out of the U.S. arsenal. You know, we are to the point where we're taking factory orders. You know, literally, you know, you're taking deliveries from the factory, and that is that, you know, that is no way to fight a war, folks. Okay, you've got to have a war reserve, and you've got to honor that. And as we've seen with the strategic oil reserve, you know, in the United States now down to less than 15% of its capacity. You know, you can bet that there's not much left on the shelf, you know, to send to Israel, and they're probably waiting on factory orders. So that's a big deal. This was emphasized and underscored last night, you know, in a rare nationwide address to Americans from the Oval Office. The Biden regime demands $100 billion in new military aid for both Israel and Ukraine. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a genius to read between the lines on that and understand that having exhausted all goodwill for, you know, fleecing Americans and taxpayers to ship, you know, shipment after shipment to Ukraine, that they're now, after just announcing a meager, paltry $200 million aid package about 10 days ago for Ukraine, now they're going after the big money yet again. So that $100 billion that the president asked for last night, you know, again, orders of magnitude greater than just the $200 million that we gave, you know, Ukraine when they came calling, you know, last week. So fleecing the vast treasury of democracy. So not just depleting the arsenal of democracy, but fleecing the vast treasury of democracy. You bet. Okay, due to ongoing U.S. military recruiting shortfalls, one of the other items that we would invite your attention is Kurt Schlichter's article published, you know, last week, discussing U.S. military recruiting shortfalls and our very own military-industrial complex trying to convince D.C. kleptocrats to reinstitute the military draft so that they can engage in industrial-scale warfare in Ukraine, the Middle East, and possibly Asia, Taiwan, while murdering and maiming, and this is their words, not mine, okay, murdering and maiming 5,000 to 6,000 American kids every week. So you tell me, hell no, we won't go, Judd?
Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely. Hell no, we won't go.
That's right. Hell no, we won't go. All right, next, folks. Other big news this week, the Speaker of the House impasse goes on. The uniparty chaos drags on, exacerbated by about 24 rhinos, now on record through two House votes, voting against Jim Jordan, who is a strong health freedom advocate with a 94% approval rating among conservatives for his record, long record in Congress. But yet, these 24 rhinos cannot get on board. Just want to encourage folks to search up, as my boys say, Google, you know, go to Google, go to your favorite search engine and pull up the names of those 24 rhinos and let them know what you think. You know, give them a call, send them an email. The mainstream media yesterday came out prematurely and said that Jim Jordan had withdrawn his candidacy, and, you know, after the second failed vote. And that was not the situation at all. You know, Jim Jordan is still very much in this running and, you know, is being encouraged to, you know, advocate for his own position and his own candidacy and will likely win. And we need to help him do that. And the reason why we need to help him do that is because he has been the one strong advocate for health freedom during all of the COVID tyranny and you know, bringing reason and giving a hearing, at least a hearing, to, you know, the vaccine injured and the relatives of the aggrieved, you know, dead. And so we need to let these 24 rhinos and all of our congressional representatives know that we're not going to stand for further uniparty nonsense, and they need to get behind Jim Jordan and elect a strong Speaker of the House.